It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Tuesday, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really good. We got a very, 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 very busy day ahead coming up here. Number one, the coronavirus in the stock market from yesterday down over 1,000 points. We'll get to the specifics of that. Why does Bernie Sanders sound like a commie?
Because he's a commie?
He doubles down on Cuba. Dems now afraid that Florida is gone if Bernie becomes the nominee. This is going to make it really interesting for the debate tonight.
Yeah.
Will they all focus on Bernie? Will they look and say, okay, this is the time to take him down?
Well, because he's on the top, and typically that would be the move. But, you know, you're hearing more and more from more Democrats saying, we can't go this direction. We cannot go this direction. And Bernie can't be the guy.
Well, here's the problem as a political analyst, not looking at the substance of communism that Bernie is trying to. Well, I guess this can be a political observation that deals with reality. What he is saying is the gulags, the executions.
Yeah, right.
No due process of jailing people and torturing people that. Oh, well, you know, those things happen, but literacy rates, he had a literacy program. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing ever.
Yeah. Well,
it's almost, I'm trying to think of, in North Korea, they've got a great arts program.
Right.
They have more arts in North Korea than we do in the United States. Here, we're cutting back on arts funding in the United States. Yet they have arts funding in North Korea. And seriously, I mean, it's the most asinine thing you could possibly say, and he's still doubling down on it. And as has been brought up by many people from Cuba, even anti-Trumpers,
right,
who are Democrats or Republicans, who have said, no, my family came from Cuba. The literacy rate before the revolution was 80%. And so because he brought in a literacy program, we already knew how to read.
Yeah, right.
We already knew how to read. That does not, to sit there and look at that as a high point. I mean, and that's why I said, you know, you got to keep the substance of it, but the politics of it, if I'm the campaign manager for Bernie Sanders, I'm like, shut up. You sound like a complete ass.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, but you, I don't know what other word to do to use. I mean, universally,
yeah.
Even Democrats, like, you need to shut up.
Well, you know, this is, you said it the other night. You know, Bernie really hasn't been vetted on a national basis.
No,
he really hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
You know, 2016 was, again, the party just saying, look, let Bernie go out and have his fun, and he'll bring the far left with us, and then we get to convention, we'll usher her in, and he'll look, it's Bernie. He'll endorse. So we know we'll get the far left because Bernie will be on board with Hillary. And now you got it. I mean, you know, after the whole, you know, Steven Seagal thing with Tom Steyer, Bernie's ready to fight. That was clear.
And that's why I'm wondering whether he's going in with this attitude. I'm going to promote socialism / communism. I'm going to talk about the good things that a communist regime can bring in. And he said it again last night.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not extreme at all. Well, let's just go. Let's go. This goes back to, I believe, last Monday. I believe it is when he was in Seattle, and the Socialist Seattle councilwoman, Kishama Sawant, I think is her name, introduced Bernie. Are you ready?
All right.
Listen to this. Tell me if this sounds mainstream American in any way.
All right.
You ready? Here we go.
We need a powerful socialist movement to end all capitalist oppression and exploitation.
I think I'm in the Seinfeld episode where Elaine's dating the communist. Remember?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you know, Kramer's Santa Claus and Mickey is the elf.
Yeah, right.
And then he attacks the commie.
Right.
When the commie starts talking about unionizing the Santa Clauses.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's the woman that was introducing
right.
Bernie Sanders.
Right. That's the person who brings up the energy in the room.
Yes.
So Bernie can come out and shout at you.
And, you know, and that's, by the way, and we've said that's the huge advantage that President Trump actually has. Of any president ever, he has been vetted three times. During the campaign, during Russian collusion, and during impeachment.
Yeah, right.
But that's, you know, I was shaking my head yesterday saying, wow, nobody's telling him to shut up. Or he's just, you know what it is? He's just riding it saying, they love me. They love me and they love my socialist / communist message. Look at Nevada. They love me. Democrats in Nevada are socialist communists just like I am.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, I'm in Bolin now. It's like, let's go to South Carolina. Let's spread the message. This isn't extreme. The socialist communist message is something that now Americans are embracing.
Well, look at, you know, the margin there in Nevada. You look at the crowds that are showing up, the energy that's there. I mean, it's like a rock star. Nobody shows up to the concert who hates the rock star, right? Mm-hmm. You don't show up to Billy Joel and go, boo, boo, play some Guns N' Roses. No, it's all these people who adore you. He believes, Bernie looks at these people and says, man, this is working. In fact, look at what he's seeing right now. His surge in 2020 right now is far ahead of what it was in, I think we were a little bit later in the game, in the primary of 2016, but he had a bit of a surge moving out west. This is the momentum, because you can say Iowa was close enough, again, the popular vote thing, that whole thing, then New Hampshire, now Nevada. It's working. It's working.
And then, you know, you see, because of the criticism, you see how he came out with his position paper, how he's going to pay for everything?
Yeah.
Did you see the one thing that... how we're really going to pay for everything is, get this now.
Yeah.
You want to hear, as my dad would say, poop for the peasants?
Mm.
Hey, since we're talking socialist communists, we can use the term peasants, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The Green New Deal is going to create 20 million new jobs, and those jobs will provide the tax money to pay for everything.
Are they going to be billionaires?
I have no idea.
You're going to have to get them into the highest tax bracket.
I mean, are we now
20 million? Really?
Are we really now into the Soviets' 5-year plan?
Well, think about it.
Soviets always used to come out with, we have a 10-year plan. They could never reach the goal. They would throw out bizarre, you know, economic theories that never came to fruition.
Here's what you do. Open borders, right? Okay. And then you bring 20 million Russians over. Do we have 20 million Russians available? You bring them over, and then the government prints a bunch of money and pays them all $10 million a year. No. $1 billion a year. The government makes them billionaires. Bernie screams at them to tax them more, and then you tax them more. Don't forget, you got to leave out the whole part of printing the money to pay them.
Normally, I would say, you know, Eric, stop with the asinine comments.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
But then Bernie suggested that the Green New Deal,
yeah,
government taking over industry,
mm-hmm,
would create 20 million new great jobs that would help pay for all of his socialist programs.
Right.
I mean, that's how he's going to do it. Everybody looked at it when it came out. I mean, immediately, and said, stop it. This is a joke.
You bring in 20 million Russians. You print enough money to make them all billionaires. And then you tax them to death. See? Forget about the printing the money part.
I'm still trying to figure out why you're bringing in the Russians.
Well, because they're former communists.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're in the game.
All right.
Yeah, Bernie doesn't have to teach them
but
anything.
But the open borders is for, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for Russia,
now
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Don't be, you know, don't be a nationalist, Gary. It's for everybody. Open borders is for everybody.
Yeah, but you were...
Not Canadians, but everybody else.
But you were giving preference to the Russians.
I know.
So then it's
Bernie.
And then there's Trump in the background, you know, the defeated candidate going... colluding with the Russians.
Yeah, exactly. Here in the good old USSA.
Oh, wow. That's an idea for a parody song back in the USSA.
Yeah, that's what Bernie will call it.
Yeah, the USSA. Also coming up here on the show, we will talk about the debate tonight because that's one question. I know Bloomberg, Doomberg, you know, has come out and said, you know, we need to target and we need to go after Bernie Sanders. And I really wonder whether that's who they're all going to go after tonight, because he's easy pickings with the Cuba stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy pickings with the socialist communist stuff that's coming out. You know, you had the Democrats last week go, ooh, when Bloomberg brought up the communism. But now with Bernie's comments and then doubling down on Cuba, the knives may be out.
Well, it's, you know, here's what I would advise Bloomberg. If I, you know, were, if he were paying me $1 million, I'd have to be a billion. He's too rich to get away with paying me just $1 million. If he paid me $1 billion to advise, you come out swinging. Come out swinging. All gloves are off.
Mm-hmm.
Scorched earth on that stage tonight.
What other choice do you have?
You don't have any other choice.
It's the last chance. So we'll get to that. We'll tell you about the Politico story saying that Democrats are underperforming with blacks.
Hmm.
That great article, the coronavirus. Like I said, we'll get to that. Harvey Weinstein convicted on 2 counts. Hmm. Chris Matthews says, I'm sorry for relating Bernie's win to the Nazi defeat of France.
Yeah.
And the House GOP considering criminal referrals against Mueller prosecutors.
Hmm.
Ah, that story from John Solomon.
Okay.
Coming out. Plus your calls and comments if you'd like to get in. By the way, let me get this here because we need to make sure we do this. I was watching the stock market all day yesterday as you were. And then this moment came along. And so we were asking the question. Yeah. They always cheer, and they cheer if it's a good day, and then they cheer if it's a bad day because the bad day is over.
Yeah, right, right. They always cheer, applaud if you have a good day, and be glad that it's over if you have a day like you had yesterday, over 1,000 points down.
Uncertainty is one of the biggest problems for the markets.
Well, and this is a really deep dark hole here, and who knows how far it will go, because the question is on the coronavirus. First, the incubation period was 14 days, then it was 27, and they still don't know how to contain this thing. There are way too many unanswered questions at the very basic level. And one of the questions really would be, I mean, you think about it, anything from any electronic component coming from Asia, any agriculture that's coming back and forth, the containers themselves, does this virus survive on a surface? If so, for how long? What environment, again, can this, and for how long can this virus survive? And when you have patients that turn up and they've never been to Wuhan and they're sick, you know, it's not this huge epidemic. But it's uncertainty, as you mentioned.
Right.
It's right now not an epidemic, but if the market is worried about this is what will happen, it's, you know, the countries will start closing their borders on trade. Mm-hmm. If trade slows way, way down, we could see a few more of these days at least.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio. We'll be right back.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Thanks so much for being here this morning. So I find it fascinating what's going on right now with Bernie Sanders. And again, I think because in Nevada, and you and I talked about this last week. I mean, after when he did so well in Iowa and then New Hampshire and then going into Nevada, that's when he started talking much more like a socialist.
Yeah.
And he started using the language of a socialist slash communist. You started hearing it more. We just played the Seattle councilwoman who introduced him, and you're like, what in the world is that? He's been talking about the fact that we need to transform the society, that the society that we live in is in itself flawed. The base of our society is flawed, and we need to change everything completely.
Yeah,
and it's like, then he wins in Nevada, and it's like, okay, I can double down. I can talk about, you know, Cuba in a positive way, and I'll, you know, and then I'll get caught on it. People will be upset, and I'll double down on it like he did again last night. It's really amazing to watch this. I mean, it's going to be absolutely clear if he ends up, you know, being the nominee for the Democrats. It will be absolutely clear, I think, to most Americans to make that choice between somebody who was a moderate,
mm-hmm.
and that would be Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
Versus a socialist slash communist.
Well, you know, the Democrats are looking for a moderate, but you already have a moderate. Mainstream, you've been saying this since the beginning. Trump is not extreme. He's mainstream, you know, for the American, you know, political landscape. And the left wants you to believe that he's extreme. Well, he's been vetted a number of times. He keeps getting re-vetted every day when the media throws something at him. But you look at something interesting just a little while ago, about 20 minutes ago, the Nate Silver 538 forecast updated, and Bernie's lost a couple of points above the brokered convention. This is, again, a forecast, not a poll. Mm-hmm. But Bernie's at 46, and the brokered convention is at 41.
Uh-oh.
Bernie was at 48. Well, think about this scenario, and it's really not a conspiracy theory, just a theory, that the DNC makes sure that Mayor Pete, Warren, Biden, and we know Bloomberg already has it, they all have enough money to stay in at least through the end of March. You keep splitting it so he doesn't get to 50. Forget about just having Bloomberg do it, you know, because he has his own money. He can. But you make sure that they all have enough money to stay on the road, to stay in the game. And we'll see if that plays out. Here's your forecast.
A storm system that's worked its way out of the west that had affected Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming is now dumping heavy amounts of snow in South Dakota, Nebraska, over through Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and northern Illinois. It won't stop snowing until late Wednesday night in Chicago. Now, there's a narrow band of icing also associated with this system. Earlier this morning, we saw heavier amounts of that hitting portions of Kansas and northern Missouri. However, as the morning progresses, we'll see that ice shift into central Illinois, northern Indiana, and Michigan. South of that area into Indiana, Ohio, the lower Ohio Valley, we're seeing all rain this morning. In fact, those showers extend up the I-95 corridor from Florida, where we could see heavy amounts of rain and thunderstorms today, all the way on up through New York City. For your Tuesday morning, there's a look at your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
If you don't know what the topic is, it's all on you. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara.
It's true.
866-90-RED-EYE. House Republicans have found evidence that Russia special counsel Robert Mueller's team may have misled the courts. Now, remember, this is Mueller's team. Have misled the courts and Congress.
Wow.
And are considering making criminal referrals, asking the Justice Department to investigate those prosecutors, Devin Nunes says. Devin Nunes, the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, told John Solomon and his new website, Just the News, that his team has been scouring recent documents released by the FBI, including witness reports known as 302s, and found glaring evidence that contradicts claims the Mueller team made to the courts and Congress. We are now going to go through those 302s, and we're going to be making criminal referrals on the Mueller dossier team, the people that put this Mueller report together, Nunes said during an interview with John Solomon on Tuesday. Nunes specifically reacted to a story in Just the News disclosing that FBI interview memos of key figure George Papadopoulos show he was helpful in trying to locate a witness named Joseph Masoud, but that Mueller's prosecutors portrayed Papadopoulos as trying to thwart or frustrate the investigation's efforts to question Masoud. The new FBI memos provide our first evidence of the Mueller team lying to the courts. It's a lie. It's a total lie. That's a quote from Devin Nunes, referring to the Mueller's team's claim that Papadopoulos tried to hinder efforts to locate and question Masoud. I've always assumed that Papadopoulos probably was helpful. I mean, he's kind of alluded to that he offered to be helpful, but we never had seen the actual 302s, Nunes said.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one of the things that they are looking at, what the other criminal referrals are, will be interesting. Again, we had talked yesterday about the FISA warrants, that the third and fourth FISA warrant, which was the third, or which was the second and third renewal, that were found to be illegal, and we were making the case, as were our listeners, that, you know, the number one has to be viewed. There's no way you can find that, or let's put it this way: we would have the question, how could you find that legal,
right,
when they were looking at Carter Page and trying to make the court believe that Carter Page was a Russian asset when actually he was a CIA asset reporting on Russia, and that they did not include that information specifically in the FISA application. They left it for the court to assume that he was a Russian asset when it was actually the reverse.
Right.
I'm telling you, I mean, I just, how many times have we said it over the last couple of years, but I mean, the rot that existed and probably still exists today in the bureaucracy of the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the intelligence agencies, it's still something that the president has to fight all the time, and it's always working against him. Remember, just less than a week ago, the left was all saying he's a Russian stooge, he's a Russian asset again, that the Trump was, based on a fake news story from the Washington Post, right, that had that story?
Yeah, right. Well, and it is something I think William Barr is probably having to do. We mentioned the whole dye test, that story that came out that said, you know, William Barr has said he's going to resign. And then the theory behind that, that people were floating, he probably was, you know, using the dye test. In other words, saying something in front of someone he suspected of being a leaker and saying it only in front of that person. Then that person, of course, couldn't help themselves, and they run to the media with that. That's your dye test, and that comes out in the water. I'm guessing right now he's probably running a number of dye tests. inside
we don't
Department
know
of
that
Justice.
That, we don't know that that was,
no,
though. I mean,
no,
that's
no,
the
no.
speculation.
But I suspect he's doing, if he's not doing it, he's not doing his job.
Yeah. I would figure that they are doing it, trying to find out where leaks are coming from.
Right.
But would they have just started now, or would they have he have started months and months ago?
I think because, I mean, before he was even nominated, they knew that there were leaks all over the place. And coming in and you know, talking about, you know, the investigation into the whole FISA warrant thing is certainly one thing. And he talked openly about that, even talked about it during his confirmation process, during the hearings. Well, you look at your internal problem, that's an internal problem. That's a huge internal problem. You got to find those leakers. I mean, with the whole transcript thing from impeachment, you know he's looking at that. You know William Barr is looking into that because you've got at least one person in the CIA that's leaking things.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know that's coming.
Right.
Because there's no way. If
we're thinking about it, he is.
Well, that's the whole point. If he's not looking at it, he's probably the worst pick ever for an attorney general.
Yes.
I mean, he's quite the opposite of what I thought would be if it turns out he's not looking into it. I suspect he is. We have no, again, confirmation that he is, but how could you not be?
Yeah, if the two idiots.
These are major crimes.
If the two idiots can connect the dots, I'm assuming Barr can.
Right. Right.
I'm sorry, overnight.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we.
Right. Speaking of which, I need to apologize to our podcasters and listeners. Yesterday, I started the show, the Monday show, saying welcome to Wednesday. Now,
I didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't know.
Well, I had a friend of mine. He sent me a message. He said, Wednesday, are you guys not live? I said, no, we're live. I thought I said Monday. Now, here's the thing. And I can't believe it's already Friday. It's really the reason I can't believe it is because it's not it's Tuesday.
I don't know what day it is because my mind is drifting. I finally after this was the fourth attempt, weather kept it, but finally got the new roof on the house today.
Good.
Which means I got no sleep in the morning because they were out there. They were prepping at 6:45 and they were on the roof at 7:05.
Did you get a retractable one like the stadiums have?
Nah, because I'd never open it up. By the way, isn't that
That's like me with my sunroof in my car.
Just very quickly here, because that's just, I mean, just because you brought it up. But you see how many people across, you know, places that have domes? I mean, right here in Dallas, it's like, why did you even build it? Why'd you build a retractable roof? You never open it up. Why did you spend all the hundreds of millions of dollars to do something that you may open once every 3 or 4 years for a game?
Right.
What's the purpose of it?
Exactly.
And there's more retractable domes all over the place. I'm like, why'd you do that?
Well, I mean, the whole point, especially in Texas, is that, you know, I think with like the Rangers, you want to the ballpark that they had, you know, it's a great ballpark. But the problem is it's really, really hot,
right.
You know, in the middle of the season. And down on the field, I hear it's even hotter. It's, you know, a few degrees warmer down there. And so I don't know if that has to do with, you know, being able to find players who want to stay on the team or not. But the conditions were really warm, and you're trying to put butts in seats.
Sure. Well, I mean, that for baseball, when you're playing so many games, yes.
Yeah.
For football, it's like, what do they open it up? For the Cowboys once every, and the same thing down in Houston.
Yeah.
It's like, and I know a couple of times you'll there'll be a game the Cowboys will be playing and it's like 71 degrees.
Yeah.
Why isn't it open?
Right. Yeah.
Or exactly. If it's even 65 degrees, why isn't it open? A little bit of cool football weather.
Right.
You know,
you got enough people in there to keep, you know, to warm it up a little bit, even if it's in the mid 60s. Yeah. Yeah.
See, where I come from, perfect football weather's in the 40s.
Well, see, I always wanted to go to a football game like that in high school. Occasionally, I was in band. Occasionally, in Del Rio, it would get cold, and down there, cold is like probably mid 40s. Yeah, I can't remember, but it obviously wasn't too cold. But man, that was great football weather. That's football weather.
I was actually, this goes back to, it's got to be the mid 70s, And yeah, because the new stadium was built, but I went to a Bills game, yeah. And it was in December, I think. And all I remember is we were playing Denver, and there was the snow came overnight, so they didn't have a chance to shovel it. Nobody showed up for the game. We did. We were in the end zone. The snow was drifted like 5-6 feet, and it was pretty wet snow. We built like a cave in the end zone.
I love that.
In the snow. It's like we're building snow forts in the end zone. Apparently the game wasn't interesting. I'll never forget that, though.
Yeah.
So there's no dome.
You didn't get a retractable dome on your house.
No, I didn't get a retractable dome on mine.
Did they disturb your moat?
No, they covered the moat.
Oh, really?
By the way, the moat's my pool, for people that don't know.
Yeah.
Eric has already accused me of using all the world's water. So that was years ago when I built the house.
It's not all the world's water. You just use California's water.
I'm using all of California's water.
Keeps them in drought.
Yeah, they put a cover over that, but they were, you know, they went until probably to about 4 PM. So I miss my sleep pattern in the morning because it's impossible to sleep when they're on the roof.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
You can't do it, but thank goodness that's a project that is done with, and now all the other projects. And I did have to tranquilize the cat, though.
Well, how did he like that? Is he awake yet?
Yeah. I mean, it's a sedative. It's actually a seizure medicine that's used for humans.
Really?
Yeah, but it's a sedative for cats too.
Wow.
And it calmed him a little bit because he walked. People were outside. Normally, he'd be hiding. But as soon as the banging started on the roof, he was out for the day. He was under the bed the whole day. Mm. So
wow.
But besides that, I'm happy I got it done, and I'm a little bit punch drunk.
Yeah,
on the air. Right.
Welcome
now.
To my world for the last 23 years.
Yeah, but I'm very, very. Anybody who knows me, I mean, people will tell you that who know me, they'll say, man, you're just so disciplined, and you know I am.
Yeah, I am. I am too. I'm disciplined in not sleeping.
Yeah, I'm disciplined, and you know me. I'm disciplined. I can't do what you do.
Yeah.
I can't go without sleep. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's not, and I've got to sleep the time that I sleep. 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I get 3 hours in the afternoon.
Yeah, I could. I couldn't do that every day.
Yeah.
I can tonight. I'll be okay tonight.
I got about, actually, I've been getting more lately. Got about 5 hours today, and I was out. I mean, it was solid sleep, but it was great. Really great.
And then when I was getting solid sleep, all of a sudden the doorbell rang and woke me up, and I never sleep again in my second sleep shift. So it's like,
Tell your butler to, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Keep people away. Or the guard outside. He can do that, too.
Your butler. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You see that poll out of South Carolina, the PPP, the Democrat pollster,
mm-hmm.
for the 23rd and 24th?
Yeah.
Last 2 days?
Mm.
Biden 36, Sanders 21.
If Biden, and that could be the, you know, the changer there in that forecast on 538. If Biden gets a little momentum, does he win Texas is the question. Bernie's going to get California. You know, it's Super Tuesday is a week from today. Mike Bloomberg's going to be in Texas on Wednesday. His boxes arrive later today. And the whole idea of, you know, that brokered convention comes back into play if that poll holds true in terms of the results on Saturday. We'll see where it goes, I guess. But I don't put any faith in anything right now. It's kind of, you know, the back and forth. But, you know, the attack on Bernie has been pretty relentless. Think about this. we know the far left hates billionaires. That's a given, right? But the question is, all right, are you voting for Bernie because you don't like the establishment? Is that surge going to last that he has had? He's definitely going to get California.
Here's a question. We'll develop this more following the top of the hour. Are most Democrats okay with the socialist but a communist sympathizer? They are not.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Here we go again.
So you were telling me Bernard Goldberg wrote a piece and said that he's not going to vote for anybody because Trump is mean. He doesn't like the Democrats, but Trump is mean.
Basically, yeah. The mini mic really upset him.
That's what upset him?
Yeah. By the way, he's calling himself a conservative Republican now.
Hmm. Yeah, well.
He wasn't when he wrote bias. No, he was not.
Right.
He made it clear. He was a Democrat.
Hmm.
Fiscal conservative, social liberal is what he said way back when he wrote bias.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
He's a Romneyite. Did you see that? Where was I reading it? It's no longer. I love these classifications. It's no longer. I was reading an article today. Never Trumpers. It's Romneyites.
All right.
Here it is. How the Romneyites will justify supporting Bernie Sanders. Never Trump is dead. Long live the Romneyites. Here's why they will wind up supporting socialist Bernie Sanders. David Marcus, TheFederalist.com. Never Trump is as dead as a doornail. This must be distinctly understood. By the way, that comes directly from Scrooge. It met its fate when all but one Republican senator voted to acquit Donald Trump in the impeachment trial. Never Trump was always short for Never Trump Republican or Never Trump Conservative. For all intents and purposes, those qualifiers no longer define the group. Instead, they are now defined by one senator who abandoned the GOP, Mitt Romney. The Romneyites, which they should now be known as, are still defined by their staggering aversion to Donald Trump, but a handful of principled Republican politicians they kept predicting would turn on Trump did not materialize. Their three-year project to wrangle back the GOP from the inside has failed, leaving them with only one option, to support a Democrat against Trump. And increasingly appears that Democrats may... the Democrat may well be socialist Bernie Sanders. This is a very tough spot for the Romneyites to be in. Almost one has to feel sorry for them. It is important to remember that they are not just smarter than their Trump-defending conservative ex-cohorts. They are also, of course, much smarter than the Democrats, who they have been warning about the dangers of lunging too far to the left. But for all their wisdom and long, hard hours in the think tanks, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans seem very keen on heeding their important advice. This was not supposed to happen. The election was not supposed to even get close to coming down to a right-wing populist bully from Queens and a left-wing populist bully from Brooklyn. Even last week, the Romneyites were writing weird wishcraft like a piece in the Bulwark called Romney Bloomberg, the unity ticket America deserves. You couldn't read the sentiments of the American voting public more poorly right now if you held the book upside down. And so it does go into the fact that now they're Romneyites, is what you call them.
All right.
It's interesting to look at different American demographics out there. I'm fascinated right now because I can't get an answer. I really wonder where Democrats really stand right now on Bernie Sanders. What is the thought process? I've said this before that I've got many, many social media friends that are both on the left and the right. Just when you're in radio, sure, you meet a ton of different, you know, Eric, I mean, you meet tons of different people and a lot of them on the left. For the last year and a half, almost 2 years, all my friends on the left, solid Democrats, almost completely quiet.
Yeah. Right.
They'll stick their head out from the social media sand from the borough once in a while, say something, and you'll call them on it, and they realize they haven't done their homework, and then they disappear again.
Right. Yeah.
But they are not close to being as vocal as they were maybe 2 years ago. I'm shocked. And I really wonder what, and I'm not talking about the Democrats that they pick on focus groups that appear on TV. I mean, the average Democrat out there, and that's why I said the last part of last hour, is the problem with Bernie Sanders, the fact that Democrats will accept somebody who is a socialist. Not that they want all socialist activities, but they like the gimme part, and they figure, well, if you have somebody on the left and they're a socialist, that's okay because they maybe be able to get through some of the things and they can blunt the right wing.
Yeah,
people do
sure.
think like that. People yeah. do think, okay, I want to vote. Normally I wouldn't vote for this person, but the left is so crazy that I'll vote for this guy on the right because you need somebody to blunt the opposition and he's the only person there, whatever. With Bernie Sanders, the Democrats love the gimmiest portion of it. Gimme, 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 gimme. They don't like the takeyism part of it, but the gimmeism they love. But here's the question that I have with Sanders and all the Cuba stuff over the last couple of days and doubling down on it and then saying, I'm not extreme. Is that where he gets it? Is that where? And will we see tonight that you will see the other Democrats believe that's where they have the opening? That, look, it's okay to be a socialist, but you can't be a communist sympathizer.
No, I think, you know, there's, again, this vetting process. Think about what's happened just since the last debate. You know, the ooh, after Mike Bloomberg said communist, it resonated. Because what happens? Inevitably, you know, it was after Carville said communist, and that made the news. Inevitably, the media kind of has to vet it. Now, the activist media, we don't call them liberal media anymore, liberals are given. The activist media, they want Trump out of office. They're seeing this. They know it's a disaster waiting to happen. You get Bernie in, he's the nominee. And by the way, you get to a brokered convention and he's not the nominee, you still have a loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win. You're just not going to. If everything holds right now and we don't go into a huge, huge funk because of the coronavirus, if everything holds right now, the president is set to win, I think, without any issues or questions whatsoever. Again, assuming everything stays in place, whether it's Bernie or anybody else, because I suspect that they are working this way. I think they're looking at it. The party's looking at it going, you know, if these others can stay funded, they can get us to a brokered convention. But it doesn't matter. If he has the plurality, he gets in with 45 or 47, doesn't get over 50% of the delegates, Bernie still has to be the guy or you're going to have chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well just forget it. You might as well just close the doors.
You know, I was going through the South Carolina poll and in fact, going through with you and wondering about, this is the one that showed that Joe Biden, the one poll showing him up 36 to 21. And then I looked at the sample that they took. 39% of those polled were white, 53% African-American. And I went, did they oversample blacks in that poll? And I don't know, because you and I looked at it, and South Carolina, roughly 27% black. If you're taking just Democrats alone, could they in a primary be, you know, over 40%? That was my question. Did they weigh over sample? I haven't looked at other polling out there. But when I looked at the number of people, for example, that weren't sure, like Amy Klobuchar, favorable 39%, unfavorable 26%, 36% of Democratic primary voters weren't sure about right. Klobuchar.
Hmm.
Bernie Sanders, even 18% weren't sure. But Bernie, and this is South Carolina Democrats, favorable 47%, unfavorable 35%. Tom Steyer, a billionaire,
right.
favorable 45%, unfavorable 24%, not sure 30%. Actually, Bernie's unfavorable is greater than Tom Steyer because people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
30% don't know who he is. With all the money he has spent, not sure who he is. Joe Biden, 61% favorable, 20% unfavorable, not sure, 19%. Do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Mike Bloomberg? He gets the worst numbers of them all. Only 27% with all the ads he has run. And this is from South Carolina the last 2 days. Favorable 27%, unfavorable 46%. Nobody comes close to that.
No.
Nope comes close to that. And Pete Buttigieg, favorable 41%, unfavorable 35%, not sure, 24%.
Mm.
So, I mean, you look at that and you're like, wow. So why that on Bloomberg? Is it all the debate?
Yeah, I mean, I think also, too, the national, you know, the vetting, more vetting. You know, I mean,
look, Steyer is a radical leftist, mm-hmm. but he really hasn't been caught up in saying, at least it hasn't been publicized, I support communism, or I'm very sympathetic towards, you know, communist regimes and have been in my past.
Right.
But he's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And favorable 45, unfavorable 24. Not sure 30. Bloomberg, favorable 27%, unfavorable 46%.
Well, it's I think, you know, Bloomberg has been vetted in terms of national stories that, you know, hit when he was mayor. So there's some vetting there. Nobody really knows Steyer.
No, they don't. They really don't.
And he hasn't been the guy that, you know, he doesn't come off as arrogant. What's weird is that yesterday we announced that the story that hit over the weekend that Tom Steyer would be back on the debate stage tonight in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a picture. I was doing some show prep during the day yesterday, and I saw a picture of Tom Steyer. And I thought, no crazy eyes. I mean, we've been on this from the beginning.
Googly eyes.
Well, yes. Crazy, googly.
Googly eyes,
okay,
yes.
Googly eyes. Yes. Okay, not crazy. Only a little bit crazy. The googly eye thing is real.
Adam Schiff has them.
Oh, Adam Schiff has them. Ooh.
Big time. Big googly eyes.
It's like he invented them. I mean, seriously.
Which is our question for today. Why do so many Democrats have googly eyes?
866-90 Red Eye. Get in. Tell us why you think it is. Now Elizabeth Warren doesn't have it, but the problem is she looks like your fifth grade teacher. And by the way, I've said this before and I'll repeat it. She looks pretty very good actually for her age. You know, she looks like she's in good shape. Everything else, but she still has that pleading thing going on. And it's like she's about to lead everybody through a fire drill or introduce a guest to come up in front of the class to read. So those aesthetics. All right, Bernie. All right, we all know it's Bernie, and he gets the googly eyes. Mayor Pete is the only one that comes off as normal until you put Tom Steyer on the stage. Now, I'm not, again, we're not talking about the ideas that they espouse.
Right, yes. Okay? Because we got accused as, how dare you call them normal?
Every time we do this, we get that feedback.
Because it's political analysis. Right. It's not our own personal feelings towards the substance of the issues. We start talking optics and things like that, which do count.
But
look, I believe that part of the, I do believe that part of the reason that Bernie Sanders is so popular is because he's so angry and hates everything, and he's a victim of everybody every time, and there is this wild anger to him that relates to a significant portion of his support.
Well, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's his energy, his anger. Goes back to Michael J. Fox. Why is Bernie yelling at me?
Oh, no.
Anger is an energy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You look at Bloomberg, and it's the arrogance. You know, the deer in the headlights was, wow, I can't believe all these people are turning against me.
No, it's a great, when we talk optics, so it's really interesting how, you can see, for example, the arrogance, or you can sense the arrogance in a Bloomberg.
Yes, yes.
Now, you look at Bernie and you say, and he may be totally arrogant and dismissive of people on the campaign trail, and is, I don't know whether his campaign people hate him or love him, but his imagery, his optics are not of somebody who was arrogant.
No,
he's somebody
who's
angry.
Angry, yeah. You know, he was walking down the street with his wife in a crowd the other day, and that was actually very good optics for him. I thought he put his arm around his wife, and they were sharing some words clearly, and they were smiling and everything else. That's good optics. If you're Bernie's campaign manager, he needs to do more of that, and he needs to quit yelling. He needs to quit yelling at people, because the anger thing. It works when your voter base is angry, and his voter base is very angry.
Right.
But you're not. That's not who you in the fall. That's not who you're going for. You know. Again, we're just putting on. We're just talking analytics here. We're not talking who we vote for or who we. Bernie's a communist. I wouldn't vote for him if he paid me $1 billion. Wait a minute. If he paid me $1 billion,
you know, and
if he took $1 billion from Bloomberg, never mind.
Oh, we'll get to more of this coming up here. We got to stop talking.
Time for a break.
We're actually doing a radio show here, not just talking between ourselves. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on preparing for 2020. Physical reminders. Hitting the road healthy is something all drivers should strive to do. One resolution you can make is to schedule your medical exams. That means a DOT exam with a medical examiner and a physical with your primary physician. Drivers are required to undergo a DOT exam at least once every 2 years. More visits may be required depending on your medical condition, and your medical examiner may request specific records from your primary physician if your condition warrants. A yearly checkup with your physician isn't required, but it is recommended. Since you want to make sure you're healthy, make the appointment. If problems develop, it's good to catch them early. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Front End Radio, I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently. It's Freightliner's number one goal.
And you just said look, Sanders is a communist. And if you look at his history, he is.
Yeah, he is.
If you look at the things that he is promoting. Now, he may not be running as one now. He may be trying to convince you.
He's a Democratic communist.
And he may say he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat socialist. Yeah. But if you actually look at his history and what he has promoted before, he is a he's a socialist slash communist. Yeah. Wherever it melds in there, whatever percentage there is, you can add communists to it. When you talk about the Green New Deal and supporting that, those are the, as we say, those are the hidden buzzwords. You know, when he's and he supports the Green New Deal. Well, the Green New Deal would mean that you would have to have an authoritarian government basically dictate to industry what they have to make and what they don't have to make.
Right.
And we've gone through enough of the things that he has said before. But as a communist sympathizer, absolutely he is. And we'll actually hear from Pete Buttigieg on the whole Cuba thing coming up next.
Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Go to teamrunsmart.com. It's a community of tens of thousands of industry professionals and drivers. In fact, the Team Run Smart pros are on there. It's really interesting. They're at different stages in their careers. They're company drivers, owner-operators, expedited, and all these, you know, different aspects of trucking and experiences from the Team Run Smart pros from Freightliner. You can check it out. They're blogging from the road. Sometimes they put some great videos up, and you can be a part of it, too. Share information, get information, ask questions. TeamRunSmart.com by Freightliner.
See, you miss a lot of good stuff that happens off the air. For example, at the bottom of the hour, I was telling Eric about a tweet that I was reading from George Papadopoulos that said the hunters have now become the hunted.
Yeah.
And Eric was looking at me and said, what are you talking about, Bernie? Or like, what are you talking about? This is George Papadopoulos. He said, oh, I thought you said Stephanopoulos.
Well, no, I heard Papadopoulos. This is the stupid thing. I heard Papadopoulos, but I thought Stephanopoulos. And I thought, man, the people at Good Morning America have to get up really early. Yeah. He actually probably is up by now. But, yeah, it was funny. It really is turning into that more and more. I mean, think about that. If you've got, possible referrals coming for possible criminal behavior by the Mueller team, woof.
Yeah, in case you just tuned in, John Solomon writing a column yesterday about Devin Nunes, telling him that they're looking to file criminal referrals with the Department of Justice against some of Mueller's prosecutors for the way that they wrote the 302s about George Papadopoulos, that they said they lied to the court, they lied to Congress in those 302s. And he said, we have it right there. They were lying. And so he said criminal referrals are coming. We'll see whether they do or not.
Well, didn't Mike Flynn's lawyer, I mean, that's what she was saying, too. It was about those 302s were not correct, or they had been changed or altered in some way. And that was part of her complaint. Because then, okay, if it's true, if what's going on here, you know, those 302s in that case, and this is clearly would be a pattern of behavior, not that we needed this to demonstrate a pattern of behavior and what we believe happened, but this would be solid pattern of behavior during that entire thing, during that entire FISA court Michael Flynn fiasco, and then into the actual special prosecutor situation. Because the thing is if it's not properly predicated, and then the special prosecutor acts on stuff, and then they're aware that it's not properly predicated, or they alter 302s, or something wasn't right with the 302s, whatever, however that comes down, because they're making it fit a narrative. I mean, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's why criminal referrals.
Yeah.
Would be issued. We'll follow that, but it was just funny that. Hmm. Papadopoulos, Stephanopoulos, what's the difference?
I heard Papadopoulos, and then I thought to myself, well, who's Stephanopoulos referring to?
Because I'm looking at you going, what are you talking
about? I said, is he talking about Bernie? Or because I'm thinking the pool of candidates still on the stage.
Look,
the hunter becomes the hunted.
Right.
Well, that actually does apply to everybody on the stage. I mean, it's like Obama said, the whole circular firing squad thing.
Getting back to Bernie here, I want to play this audio cut, and this is from the town hall, the CNN town hall segment, and asking Pete Buttigieg about Bernie Sanders and the whole Cuba controversy.
Yeah.
Mayor, I have to ask you about this. Senator Sanders has been criticized for remarks that he made praising a literacy program during Fidel Castro's regime in Cuba. He stood by those comments last hour. Here's what he said. He said, you know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
So this is part of what I'm getting at when I say that in our one shot to defeat Donald Trump, we should think carefully about the consequences of nominating Senator Sanders. I don't want, as a Democrat, I don't want to be explaining why our nominee is encouraging people to look on the bright side of the Castro regime when we're going into the election of our lives. We need to stand unequivocally against dictatorships everywhere in the world.
And
And that's why, you know, even last night when we were talking about it ourselves, I didn't realize the impact that the state, you know what it's like? I missed the Howard Dean thing, and I was there in Iowa when that happened.
Right.
I was sitting in Iowa covering it at that time for ABC that we work for, and I was covering it when Howard Dean did the, thank you. That was much better than mine. And I'm in the bar in the hotel with all the Democrat delegates, and it's like, we saw him do it. Nobody thought much of it.
Right.
I woke up the next morning, all heck had broken loose. It was just a complete.
Can you believe that?
It was a complete disaster. And I'm like, how did I miss that? I was watching it on a TV set in a bar in the hotel where the majority of delegates were staying, and nobody seemed to notice it. And the next day, it was like boom. And not that I didn't know, of course, Bernie Sanders complimenting and trying to pick and choose and go, whoa, yo, this good came out of communism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no literacy programs in any free societies, Bernie. Thanks for bringing that up. But I thought it was so poor. I didn't know it was going to have the impact that it had yesterday with Democrats and the stories that were being written in different publications and the mainstream media, and then the panic of Democrats saying, if he's a nominee, we've lost Florida. I knew that because you had even talked about Florida yesterday, but it still didn't hit me until I spent the day watching news and sitting in the home all day with people pounding on my roof. putting on a new roof. And finally, it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. I went, wow, this was really, really bad. And then I started wondering, are they going to take advantage of it? I mean, Buttigieg came out and said, you know, we shouldn't be talking about the highlights of a dictatorship, of a communist dictatorship.
Well,
and nobody booed. Everybody, and there was applause. Doing that.
Well, think about, and now think about this. The question even being asked, okay, in that setting. The question was being asked why, because they wanted to give Mayor Pete that chance to say what he said, and then it was followed by applause. Think about what he said, too. I don't want to have to explain why my candidate is putting the Castro regime in a good light. This is what they have to do. Now, say what you will about Republicans who had to come around. Eventually, Ted Cruz went from vote your conscience and being booed off stage at the convention in 2016 to answering phones or making phone calls for Donald Trump. you can say what you will, but on the issues, and you've had people, even Lindsey Graham at times, disagree with the president, but on the issues, the party's strong right now. And this is not something that, if you're a Democrat, a prominent Democrat, you're going to be on TV, whatever you're going to do, whatever Mayor Pete's going to do next. He's going to be asked to be a guest here or there, but you've got to be a surrogate. You've got to be a surrogate for a communist.
Well, I want to make, Trump gets criticized, for example, for the way that, he has talked about Kim Jong-un at times and the way that he's, talked about Putin. But obviously, anybody who's a critical thinker looks at it and says, okay, he's trying to negotiate. He's playing hardball over here, but trying to negotiate over here and being nice to them. Trump has been criticized for being too nice to dictators when obviously he's in the middle of negotiations, and that's part of what he's trying to do. If you look at what where Trump has always stood on these issues, you know, where you don't go back to 1980 and say, well, you know something, Trump was, you know, really part of the organization that was promoting a dictatorial communist nation,
right,
and the highlights of it. You know, there's no history like that with Trump.
No.
And the whole, for example, Russia narrative is based on their falsehood to begin with, their fake news to begin with. And then they and then they say, well, if he says anything nice about Putin, if it's everything isn't critical, then it's not about negotiating. It's the fact that he's a communist stooge. Well, if you're going to make that criticism against Trump, then you must destroy Bernie Sanders if you're trying to be consistent, correct?
Yes, you have to do that to be consistent, but you have to do that, too, to keep your party from sliding off the edge. Because if they turn it, if they get to the look, they get to the convention, it's got to be Bernie. One way or the other, it's got to be Bernie. Unless Bernie drops out, it's got to be Bernie.
And well, and my next point here, I mean, well, if he keeps picking them up, I guess my point is, I looked at it yesterday and went, wow, this might have been a really big mistake. Now, I don't know how the other candidates will handle it tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody piles on Bernie. And the problem is he doubled down on it again last night.
Right.
And so you look and you say, okay, momentum is everything. If it was still Biden, and we looked at one of the polls yesterday of Biden 23 and Sanders 21, well, then he's fine. But if Sanders drops in South Carolina and that latest poll that shows Biden up to 36 and he's still out there promoting the stuff and saying we need to transform America, whatever, there is a concern now in the Democrats that the socialist / communist label on Bernie Sanders is starting to stick. And one of the reasons is Democrats are saying it.
Yeah, right.
And so can that change? And if the momentum changes in South Carolina, does it change? Will there be a realization in these states in another 2 weeks? Another week, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another week.
Right? Yeah, week from today.
Wow, time's flying. that in another week, they're like, okay, the momentum has to shift. We can't. Bernie's just not acceptable. I don't know if that will happen, but if it was ever going to happen, it's going to happen this week.
Right. Yeah.
Because you look at it and you say, that's an error that you can criticize from Sanders. That's saying, look, you're a communist sympathizer.
Right.
Now, to compare his win to the Nazi defeat of France may get you in trouble, Chris Matthews.
Yeah, right.
But to say that you're a communist sympathizer because of what he said about Cuba, that's Buttigieg didn't say those words. That's what he said.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no hyperbole there. Because you look at that and it gets back to the question of what do you do? Forget about the DNC, Tom Perez. Tom Perez really isn't the face. The face are the other candidates who have to get in line with Bernie and they have to defend communism. They have to defend what he's promoted for ages over and over again, because without that endorsement, he's certainly not going to win. I don't believe he'll win anyway, but the party's going to have to be asked questions when they're sitting on a panel. When they're no longer running, when Mayor Pete has dropped out of the race, you get closer to the convention, they're going to have to be on a news program, and Mayor Pete just said it. Because that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement to me at all. It sounds like to me Mayor Pete would not endorse their nominee. Now,
he might not have said communism. He said dictatorship.
Well,
it's the same thing.
You're defending Castro.
Because that wasn't even a communist one-party system. That was a communist dictatorship.
Yes, which is even worse.
Yes. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Front Line Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour from Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
866-90-RED-EYE. I agree with you. I mean, you came up with an idea that that the Democrats should just embrace if they're going to go with Sanders.
You know, well, the thing is that they have to. I mean, look.
Well, you tell them what it is.
You know.
Communism.
Communism is better than Trump. You have to say that out loud.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Promote. Own it. Communism is better than Trump.
And stop with the he's not a communist thing. You know, they're acting like, remember what they said about when Obama was being called a socialist.
Yes.
And we said, well, wait a minute. You know, when we say socialist.
It has a definition.
There is a definition. Well, no, that they said back then, that's the new N-word.
Right.
And because we pointed out back then, Bernie has been, you know, proudly claiming he was a socialist for a long time. Well, and that was 2008. Well, quit saying he's a communist and quit acting like it's offensive. He's a communist.
Well, he's been one.
I mean, he's been espousing.
He may not be running as one right now, but his whole life, has been, the majority of his adult life, he has been a communist.
Yes. You know, so quit trying to, you know, defend him. Just go with it. He's a communist. That's what you got.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I just said that, didn't I? RedEyeRadioShow.com, where we stream live, or get our app, and you can put it on your phone and listen whenever you want. Sorry, still a little punch drunk. Didn't get a lot of sleep yesterday because put the new roof on my house.
So yeah.
Looks really cool, too.
How much punch did you drink?
Not
enough?
None. No, I didn't actually have any.
Hmm.
Punch, some iced tea, that was it, you know.
Okay.
Artificially sweetened iced tea.
Yeah, all right.
That was really it, so.
Right.
It still doesn't mean that I don't have some critical thinking ability left.
Mm.
Maybe a little bit.
Mm.
For the rest.
Well, that makes one of us.
For the rest of the show.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about Bernie Sanders, socialist slash communist, you know, Pete Buttigieg, we played his comment from last night at the CNN town hall meeting where he said we can't have a candidate out there, a nominee out there who we have to justify him supporting the positives of a, you know, communist dictatorship.
Mm.
And, you know, you had said it earlier. You said, look, he's a communist. And obviously, if you look at his life, you know, he has been. He's not currently running as a communist. That's not what he promotes.
Not a member of the Communist Party, but you have to be a member?
No. In fact, as you and I were talking about, because we were just having fun saying, would it be a pinko?
Hmm.
And we laughed because a pinko is a term that came up in 1925 in the United States to describe somebody who has communist sympathies but is not necessarily a member of the Communist Party.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's what we're talking about is not whether you're part of the party, but what your mindset is, what it's been for the majority of your, you know, of your life. What have you promoted? Since I have been involved in talk radio, I think that it would be fair to say the majority of my opinions are conservative libertarian. If you go through them, and I took the libertarian test a few years back. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
About what we would want. And so, I mean, I think that would accurately describe us. Cause I wouldn't object to that. And that's based on the definition of what a libertarian and a conservative actually is. And the issues that are traditionally held by conservatives and libertarians.
Sure.
So I'm not offended if somebody says it. I don't run from it. It's what I am. And I'll defend it because it's what I truly believe. I was reading here from the Baltimore Sun and Jonah Goldberg's column. By the way, Jonah is a never-Trumper,
mm-hmm.
just so you know. He's a never-Trumper.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the same point that we said, look, Sanders is not running, you know, as a communist. He's running as a Democrat socialist. But as he writes, it's also true that when communism was still a live proposition in the Soviet Union, Mr. Sanders lavished praise on it. It's also true that he remains bizarrely fond of other non-democratic socialist regimes, including Cuba's. So while he may not be proposing communism for the U.S. per se, the fact that Mr. Sanders isn't horrified by communist countries should tell you something about how far he might like to take socialism here. Mr. Sanders supported a Marxist-Leninist party. We brought this to you yesterday from that op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal
mm-hmm.
that backed the Iranian Revolution and the hostage-taking of Americans. In 1985, he supported the effort by Daniel Ortega, the Soviet-backed Sandinista leader of Nicaragua, to suppress opposition newspapers. Until recently, Mr. Sanders was supportive of the dictatorship in Venezuela.
Hmm.
In 2016, when this record started to catch up with him, Mr. Sanders said, when I talk about democratic socialism, I'm not talking about Venezuela. I'm not talking about Cuba. As he said on Wednesday night, he's talking about places like Denmark, as he's said at other times, Sweden and Norway.
Hmm.
But just as Cuba and the Soviet Union were never workers' paradises, Mr. Sanders sometimes suggested, these European countries are not the socialist nirvanas, he claims, either. The Nordic nations have many billionaires, relatively, as the United States, and even more concentrated wealth than the United States, at least as measured by the share of wealth controlled by the top 10%. The Nordic countries are also free traders and have many of the pro-business policies that Mr. Sanders despises here at home. Mr. Sanders, who favors a single-payer health care system, routinely says that we should follow the examples of Scandinavia and other countries. He recently tweeted a list of 27 nations with universal health care. But as National Review pointed out, not one of those countries listed has a single-payer health care system.
Hmm.
It's true that the Nordic countries used to be closer to what Mr. Sanders has in mind, but that was decades ago, back when Mr. Sanders was heaping praise on communist countries. Those governments recognized that such policies were bad for the economy as a whole and for the people, too. Sure, some European countries have more generous welfare states and more progressive taxation than we do. Most also have much worse unemployment and economic growth. All that is grist for a different argument than the one Mr. Sanders offers. He has an impressive record of seeing only what he wants to see rather than what is at home and abroad. And it doesn't seem like a cheap shot to me to point out Mr. Sanders got the reality of communism wrong in the past and the rest of the world wrong in the present. So there you go. That's Jonah Goldberg, never-Trumper.
Right.
And it's like the same opinion that we have. He's a communist. That's his mindset. That's what he's not a member of any communist party from what we know, but his sympathies have always lied with the Marxist communist philosophy, and he has always supported regimes in the past that are promoting dictatorial communism, socialism, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Dictatorial socialism is communism in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we say and can say with full confidence his mindset of his adult life has been he supports communism. Now that he's running for political office, he knows he can't, but he gets caught all the time saying things that only somebody who sympathizes with communism would say.
Exactly. It is just the fact that people almost get offended or pretend to be offended when you call them a communist. Embrace it. Go with it.
Yeah.
Well,
communism is better than Trump. Red Eye Radio. Hey, we have credibility there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Red Eye Radio suggests.
Yeah, but we're not Pink Eye Radio.
Yeah, we're not. No.
First of all, we'd be highly contagious. Second of all, The whole idea of this, you know, insane conversation that America seems to be having. Well, he's not a communist. He's a democratic socialist.
That's what he's selling you now.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But he's not. You can't promote the. Here's the thing. He says, I'm a democrat socialist, but I'm for the Green New Deal. Well, if you're for the Green New Deal, the only way to get there is through an authoritarian government.
Well, he's trying to tell you there are redeeming qualities about a communist dictatorship. You know? He's trying to sell that to you. You know, I remember, when was it? 10 years ago or more, Jimmy Carter went to Cuba, comes home. We should be more like Cuba. Yeah, you should be more like a one-term president. Oh, wait, you were. Thank goodness. This whole thing is insane. That we're even, you know, that it's that people are even denying it. It's communism, and you can look at the ideas. Now, you may not have done your research, and that's on you. You may not have, you know, remember the people in the when you got through convention time in 2008. Well, Obama's a moderate. We're like, wait, what? What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, huh? If you're not paying attention, if you're not doing your research on Bernie, if you're not looking into what he has been espousing for many, many, many years, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
They have this thing called YouTube. Why don't you go check it out? And you can see for yourself. Now, you may agree with the views that Bernie espouses. That would also make you a communist. Now, you may say, I'm a proud communist. Okay, fine. Great. Let's all just be adults about it. Let's quit trying to split hairs over this whole thing and pretend like communism is this, you know, it's some kind of, you know, curse word that you're calling him or something. No. These are the views that he espouses. This is what he believes, and that's who he is at his core. And it's not going to change.
And the key is when he starts talking about nationalizing, you know, industries across the board,
mm-hmm.
The Green New Deal is about you would have to nationalize industries in order to get to that particular point of forcing the American car manufacturers to produce only electric vehicles. Well, if you did that, stockholders are going to jump. If the government's mandating what you do, they're going to jump. He has in the past advocated that we need to nationalize, which means government-owned major industries, energy,
right,
automobiles, steel.
Yeah.
He has advocated the only way you could do that is with an authoritarian government, and then private property rights go away. That's what communism is.
Yep.
That's what it's about. That's why we said the Green New Deal is a socialist communist thing that AOC wishes to put together. Not because we wish to call AOC the C word.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Right.
That's got nothing to do with it. It's simply that's the reality of the definition of the words as deemed by their author, Karl Marx.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying, hey, we're connecting the dots. That's the philosophy. That's what they're advocating.
Right.
That's the philosophy. That's what he has said. That's the philosophy by the author. This is what he has said.
Right.
And people get upset at us. You guys, over-the-top rhetoric. You're just... No, it's not over-the-top rhetoric. It's looking at the definition of something.
Right. And now he believes it's resonating.
Yeah. Which is why I believe he's getting a little bit more cocky on it.
Right. Well, you know, and there's the danger, because the establishment is pushing in one direction. And what does that mean? Eventually, he has to push back. He has been lay down Bernie for a while. Nobody cares about your emails. Well, actually, they do. The handing over the microphone to Black Lives Matter in 2016. The other day, someone walks up and wrestles... tries to wrestle the one he had in his hand away from him and then grabs the other one, one of the other microphones from the podium, and starts ranting. That's not necessarily laying down. Well, see, that the fact that he held onto his microphone at that rally shows you that he's learning to push back. But really he is, because he sees it working. Yep. Or he believes that it's resonating and that it's working, and he sees the establishment for what they were in 2016.
Yeah, but understand, I don't believe that Buttigieg is really the establishment.
No, he's not.
The establishment might like him more, but probably not because they don't believe he's electable. They threw their support behind Biden, and now mm-hmm. they're wondering about Bloomberg. But Buttigieg is pretty far left,
and he
can't accept that. He knows he doesn't believe that he can gain more support by standing by Bernie Sanders and saying, hey, I'm a communist dictator sympathizer, too.
Well, no. I mean, you think about that. But as a communist, everyone who's not with you on that is establishment. You know what I mean? Not in the real sense of a Rahm Emanuel, James Carville. Can you believe?
You're not part of the proletariat if you don't agree.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I got it now. All right.
And the cardinal with his wee bitty eyes.
866-90-RED-EYE if you like.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. And that's why I look at this and say, Eric, the bottom feeders and the bottom feeders in Bloomberg, I think they all have to go after Sanders tomorrow and go after him big time. And that's why I think both of us, when we were watching the whole CNN thing and watched Buttigieg say, look, we can't be walking around and having to justify our nominee saying, you know, the positives of a dictatorial regime, a dictatorial communist regime.
Right.
We can't have that. We can't win and do something like that. And everybody clap, which is the audience saying, Sanders, shut up.
Right. Well, because, all right, and it makes you wonder, you and I were just reviewing this poll from over the weekend. We were focused the other day on Bloomberg. When we covered this poll, but you look at Warren, you had well over 6,000 likely voters national poll, and Warren jumps back to second place at 19. And you've got Bernie at, what, 28? 28.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's back at 19 after a strong performance. We said last week after that debate, she looked much stronger than she did or has at any other point, actually, on a debate stage. And she's going to have to use that tactic again to keep that performance working for her in the polls. I still don't see her getting the nomination. But as long as these, you know, the we always say, all right, on any given topic, will anybody be talking about this, you know, the whole bombshell thing? It's a bombshell on Monday. Nobody's talking about it by Friday. That's our measurement. Will anybody be talking about this by Friday? Well, that mindset, because everything moves so quickly, social media, the echo chamber, and the saturation of the things that were said, you know, I mean, the coming out swinging against Bloomberg, that was probably the best she's ever done on a debate stage, and they'll use that tactic again. And she said something yesterday. I forget what it was.
But will it be at, is it worth it to go after Bloomberg, or is it time to go after Sanders?
Yeah.
Look, you want the momentum going into Super Tuesday.
Right.
Even if you can't win South Carolina, if you can remain close in South Carolina, and in South Carolina, the latest, this is a CBS YouGov poll mm-hmm. that did the national poll, Biden 28, Sanders 23. Warren 12,
mm-hmm.
Steyer 18, Buttigieg 10.
Right.
And that's it. Klobuchar with 4, and that's it. Nobody else is close. So you want to remain in there and hopefully have some momentum that you have some traction going into Super Tuesday.
Right. And they all have enough money to stay in it through March.
And what if they all go after Sanders? How will he respond? If all of them are pounding him about his communist sympathies.
Yes. If he's talking about, you know, a communist dictator in a positive light and then doubles down on it, you have to go after that. You have to. if you're Warren, it's a tough place to be in because she doesn't want billionaires to exist. You know, all right, we can't put her in the communist corner yet, but it edges pretty close. She's closer to Bernie probably than anybody else on that stage, at least in some of her thinking. Here's your forecast.
A storm system that's worked its way out of the west that had affected Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming is now dumping heavy amounts of snow in South Dakota, Nebraska, over through Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and northern Illinois. It won't stop snowing until late Wednesday night in Chicago. Now, there's a narrow band of icing also associated with this system. Earlier this morning, we saw heavier amounts of that hitting portions of Kansas and northern Missouri. However, as the morning progresses, we'll see that ice shift into central Illinois, northern Indiana, and Michigan. South of that area into Indiana, Ohio, the lower Ohio Valley, we're seeing all rain this morning. In fact, those showers extend up the I-95 corridor from Florida, where we could see heavy amounts of rain and thunderstorms today, all the way on up through New York City. For your Tuesday morning, there's a look at your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
Chaos. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Of course, paying attention to the markets overnight. And so far, so good. After a 1,000 drop in the Dow yesterday, roughly up around anywhere between, last I checked, was like 190.
Right.
Fluctuating between 190 up and 230 up overnight. Yeah. So
that it was down on Friday over 200, yesterday over 1,000. Some ground to be made up, but the uncertainty of the coronavirus is driving a lot of that. What will happen with trade? How does it affect trade? And what does the World Health Organization believe needs to be done in terms of controlling the coronavirus? Too many questions have to be answered. And I think when you look at the possibility of consideration of closing ports, wow. I mean, that's a huge, huge mover, which, of course, played out yesterday.
It shows you that, you know, a day like yesterday, it was funny because I was out talking to a bunch of people in front of my house yesterday, because when you get your roof replaced, it sort of becomes a community center as neighbors go, hey, what's going on? And we're talking about that, and they asked me, knowing what I was doing, and I just said, uncertainty.
Right.
The worst thing is uncertainty.
Yeah, especially on something, it's uncertainty in the marketplace that is based on uncertainty of something that is very real at the moment.
Right, but outside what normally is in the marketplace.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's uncertainty stacked on more uncertainty.
Right.
And that's a huge driver. I mean, I talked to one economist yesterday, and I asked the question, is there a way for the market to price this in? And his answer was, you have to go back to 1919, rather, the flu epidemic. Now, that flu epidemic at that point was huge, and you had massive numbers of people dying. You don't necessarily have that at this point with coronavirus, but you have a great concern, and you have World Health officials, not just at WHO, but the CDC, who have a great uncertainty about this virus and how to control it. That spells problems, because if you're looking at slowing down trade, oh man, I cringe thinking about it. If they can't get on top of this virus soon.
Yeah. When you, I was thinking about it yesterday. It's like there's so many unknowns here. I mean, now there was the story the other day that the Texas company believes that they have a vaccine, but still, that would take a while,
right?
To get through the entire system. So it's one of those days where you're like, okay, you're looking at it as an economist, but you're looking at it. I'm not saying I'm an economist because I'm not, but I mean, other economists are looking at it saying, okay, this doesn't fit the traditional thing that we look at each and every day.
Right.
Because we don't know. And you've made the point all along, especially with China, we don't know what the truth is
right
out of China. And when you don't know what the truth is, and we go back, not that we're trying to make a comparison that they are alike, but it's when you don't know. It's like in 2008, 2009, when the banks or the government said, all the banks must take a bailout.
Mm-hmm.
All the major banks must take a bailout, whether you need it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this so nobody knows what the bad bank is.
Right.
Well, then what you did was you gave suspicion to the market because there's a great unknown that all of them can be bad.
Right.
Instead of finding out what the problem is and letting the market deal with that, even if it, as we have said, even if the market crashed a little bit more over that period of time, it would come back quicker because of the certainty of, okay, all the other ones are healthy.
Yeah, right.
And so we've always looked at that as, you know, and we've always shook our heads saying, how do we understand that? And so many others do, but the so-called great economists did not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some of the discussion we had back then. But for the coronavirus, it's just you don't know. And because nobody trusts the Chinese, you don't know.
You don't know how bad the death rate is.
Right. And then you hear, you know, again, going to Italy, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, how to get there? So there's panic at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not an epidemic worldwide yet.
No. No. And far from it, but right. the problem is that fear of so many, because of so many unanswered questions at this point.
Well, you know, the funny thing is yesterday, Schumer, Trump doesn't have a plan. It was just, was it 2 weeks ago? Mm. Was it Kudlow or who was making the case talking about the economy and the coronavirus? And Democrats were, see, there's a coronavirus out there that could be, you know, that hundreds of thousands, millions could get sick and die about, and they're worried about the economy. Mm-hmm. Stock market goes down 1,000. They don't have a plan for the economy and coronavirus.
Right.
It's like, shut up.
Well, it's something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Because if it turns out the virus is surviving on surfaces, then you've got a problem. How much stuff is going to be accepted out of China? Story here in our neck of the woods, you actually have, believe it or not, Chinese restaurants business down in some cases 15-20%, which doesn't make sense to me at all. But if that kind of fear is driving that at a small micro level, you look at the larger level, and then who's going to be accepting, if they find out that this virus does survive on surfaces, who's going to be accepting shipments from China?
No one.
Got a massive population, a massive exporter of many things, and then the virus spreads. Well, now you're not accepting from these ports either. And that becomes, you know, what you saw yesterday, that kind of fear. But hopefully they'll work that out. They'll have some kind of answers soon.
In other news, a news survey of registered African-American voters found that a significant number are disillusioned with the Democratic Party. The survey conducted by the Political Action Committee Black PAC, I'm not making that up, found that while black voters are largely supportive of the Democrat Party and align with most of its values, more than half feel that the party is not paying close attention enough to the black community. I do remember that after the Trump election in 2016. Democrats, they argue, grew too distracted by impeachment to focus on issues that matter to black voters, putting them out of touch with the key block whose support they've relied on for decades. The Democratic Party maintains an overwhelmingly share of black support, with 70% saying that they will vote for the party's presidential nominee in November. Yet more than one-third of all black voters surveyed expressed a desire for someone else to run.
Wow.
Given the option to vote for the Democratic nominee, Donald Trump or a third-party candidate, Trump and the third-party candidate each received 12% of support. So there you go.
Mm.
We'll see what happens in the real election.
Right. Well, I think there's going to be a big driver. Saturday is going to be key, I think.
By the way, registered voters,
yeah,
where Rasmussen does, likely voters.
You look at Saturday, I think Saturday, or how well Bernie does in the South in general, is going to show you some things. We talked about the poll where he's not polling well with women. It's going to be problematic. And let's face it, it would take something very big for Bernie not to be the guy. There would have to be a huge momentum shift in one direction with one other candidate. Who's that going to be?
I don't know at this point. I mean, that's why I find it fascinating. And like I said yesterday, when I was finally got the realization, whoa, this Cuba thing may be a bigger thing than I originally thought on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw it building and building and building and building. And then Buttigieg and other Democrats coming out against it. The stories being written about how they could lose Florida. And if they lose Florida, it's done. That, you know, what immediately came out after it. Well, look, if he's a nominee, we're cooked. Because we cannot win, and we cannot be promoting a nominee and supporting a nominee who is sympathetic to dictatorial communist regimes,
right,
and trying to find the good points in dictatorial communist regimes. You just can't go there.
Right.
The problem is, who can make that case more effectively to draw people to them? Because you can criticize the one if the votes for, if the, let's say, hypothetically, 20% decide, okay, Sanders isn't our choice anymore, but the 20% is spread out for four candidates.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then you still don't change the fact that you're going to have a brokered convention.
Right.
So who's able to take advantage of it and get the momentum? And I can't tell you, and I don't know where Bloomberg's going to go. This is going to be fascinating, because it's this week. It's still such a great unknown. I believe Sanders shot himself in the foot. How bad, I don't know, but he's doubling down on it. And I do believe part of that is the arrogance and the belief that I've been promoting more socialism here, and it seems like my numbers are going up.
Right.
And so let's keep on that same thing, and I can be a communist. I can be a communist dictator sympathizer now, and it's not going to affect me. In fact, it's going to help me.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be where he's going.
Mm-hmm. He believes it's working.
Yeah. I just don't know who can take advantage of that. Now, Bloomberg may think he can, because he's the first one to come out and say, communism doesn't work.
Yeah. And he's going to have to go. I mean, that's the only thing you've got. If you're Bloomberg, you got to throw everything down. Everything. But, scorched earth time.
But the fact that, and I got to get my sleep later on today, too. So, I mean, I'll have to watch it after, watch as much after.
Right.
It's done. But, I mean, this is the Democrat Party, where the major issue may be communism or capitalism. I mean, that's a popcorn moment.
Oh, yeah. I just bought some popcorn.
Oh, did you?
Vending machine. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the same.
I want to stock up. No, it's not the fresh.
Okay.
But it's popcorn.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Harvey Weinstein going to jail. You see there. You see some of the counts that they couldn't get past were the ones that were based on. One was a predator, conviction, which they brought somebody else in that was who the statute of limitations had passed, and they were trying to, you know, they had to relate that one to the other two in order to get predator status. That one, for example, didn't pass, and the other one I think was similar. Somebody who had that weren't part of the actual prosecution, but witnesses who also made the same claims.
Right. Still amazing how that went on for so long.
Yeah. Well, now he's got to go to L.A. Mm. Now he faces him in L.A. Just so people know, I mean, I used to work for Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
I used to spin tunes. I was a club DJ at a club that he ran in Buffalo, New York, when he was a rock promoter. Way before he became what he. You know, the movie mogul he became. And but I don't think I ever met him. I'm not sure. People ask he was in the club, but I don't think I ever met him, but I worked for him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was inevitable that it was going to, you know, all this was going to come to the surface. But it's just amazing that it went on for so long. And how many high-profile Hollywood types knew it?
Well,
they were aware of it.
And you and I, the contract that he signed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The contract that basically allowed this kind of thing to go on.
Right. Basically, he would pay a fine.
Right.
So they put a price tag on that kind of behavior. Okay, that's okay if you paid this much. Wow. I mean, do we just... Is the Hollywood thing, is that bubble just... completely devoid of reality? I mean, I know they lie for a living. It's all about fiction. But I mean, you look at it and you just wonder, okay, you know what TMZ stands for? You remember what TMZ stands for?
30 mile zone.
Right. It's not that big. It's not really that populated either. I mean, I'm not talking about the, you know, Hollywood, California. I mean the community that is in Hollywood. In terms of people who are high profile that were aware of this, you know, how did this go on for so long?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.